Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge, and a big thanks to Michelle from Stand Up Straight. Hello, Tal.
Hello, Joy.
How are you today?
I am very well, actually.
Yeah. Look, we're going to do part two of a series we're doing on Pentecostal churches tonight. So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, we've got some guests tonight, actually, this time. Last time it was just you telling us about your experiences, but now we've got some people who have left and want to talk to us about
it. Yeah, I think I got bored with myself talking, so it's always good to have other people to talk to.
Oh, I loved it.
So we're going to talk to people who have actually had to leave Pentecostal churches because of their sexuality. Earlier this week, I interviewed Tash Holmes. Tash was a leader with one of the Pentecostal churches, and she was forced to leave because of, well, she discovered she was a lesbian and fell in love with someone at the church, which is always a bit difficult, isn't it? And she couldn't be with us tonight because she's had to go to Singapore, the poor girl. We
oh,
do feel
no.
so sorry for her, but
I have to go to Singapore.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it? So here is the interview with Tash Holmes. Tash, how did you get involved in a Pentecostal church?
Well, I grew up in a Christian family, so I already was involved in church from a very young age. And then when I went through high school, that was kind of around the time that Hillsong music was getting more and more popular, around the Jeff Bullock stage. And so when we left high school, we had a person that was a part of the group, music group at school. Their dad started a church, and a whole group of us joined this church, and it was a Pentecostal church. So for a few years I was at that church, and then I eventually moved over to Hillsong.
So was it the music that mainly attracted you, or were there other things?
Well, I think definitely being a musician, the music was a big part of it, and the worship experience, I guess, as well. I had been going there already, so I already had kind of relationships with people there, and so I gravitated there. I didn't really kind of leave one church and go to Hillsong. I think nowadays, especially, people do that more and more. It's like kind of going to two different churches or three different churches at one time. So back then I was kind of going to both, and eventually made the decision to move over to Hillsong because I wanted to pursue worship leading, and Hillsong was the best place to do that, really.
So you were in leadership at Hillsong?
I had to kind of start like everyone else, and I went through the choir, and I, built relationships over the years. But eventually I became a part of the leadership for the youth. So back then we had different age groups for youth, but we would have United Nights, and so I was a part of the team for that.
Was it during this time that you discovered your sexuality?
No, well, I mean, I only really faced that when I was faced with having to decide whether or not I would stay at Hillsong or whether or not I would leave. And that was because basically I had met someone that was there at Hillsong as well. And that was the first time I kind of really had to face my sexuality and then decide whether or not I would leave or whether I would stay. And that was, you know, one of the most traumatic times of my life, really.
How did you work through those issues? You probably didn't want to tell the people in the church, so who helped you work through it?
Well, to be honest, there wasn't really anyone around, because at that stage there wasn't anyone at the church that I would have trusted, because I was as well still coming to terms with it myself, you know, and that's quite a journey on its own. So when I decided to leave, that began years of, you know, that began the journey of, you know, going out into the unknown and trying to find, I didn't even know if there were churches that were affirming. I had no idea what was out there. So, you know, that began the journey of trying to find peace, trying to find whether there was any churches that would accept us. And, yeah, so there actually wasn't really much help back then.
Did you go through struggles like, does God still love me? Am I able to be a Christian? What did you struggle with in coming out? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I first left, I had that really deep fear of kind of going, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's kind of like a something that you have to do, but it's almost so strong that you kind of think, well, I remember hearing something someone said about, you know, they kind of came out and left the church, and it was almost, and they felt like they were kind of going hand in hand, you know, to hell. But they were just like, it was worth it because they had found their partner. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that going, wow, like, I get that, because it's kind of like, it's such a big part of who you are that it's almost like, how can God not love you? You know what I mean? Like, how can that be right, you know, that you can feel that way and experience that, and it's really just because you have a love for same sex. It didn't make any sense. So I was just battling with trying to find truth and trying to, I mean, lots of that stuff is all about how other people treat you and what other people say to you, and that kind of thing is the hardest thing, I think, to face. We had talked before about this with one of our other interviews, and I said I never ever felt like I was separate from God. Like, when I left Hillsong, I had an expectation that, because I had people telling me, oh, do you realise you've just stepped out of, you know, God's favour, you know, that whole thing, and you hear these things and you kind of believe it, but I never felt it. And so, you know, because when you are a part of Hillsong, Hillsong is such a driven place and such a, you know, you are 24/7 doing church, basically. And when I left, I actually felt for the first time just a peace and a reconnection with God. And that kept me going, because mostly everyone else was saying the opposite.
Yeah, that's amazing. What was the reaction from the church leaders?
The church leaders basically blacklisted us. And our good friends that we had there were told not to communicate with us. I have written letters to kind of farewell people that I was kind of told that I was not allowed to talk to anymore, and they were confiscated.
Wow.
Hillsong has come a long way now. I don't think that they would treat people like that now, but back then, it was a very different environment, and they were very fearful. I think it was this fear of like, oh, if I talk to anyone, will I persuade anyone, or, you know, that kind of thing. So we were really just cut off once we had made the decision to leave. If I had made the decision to stay, it probably would have been a different story, but they would have kept a really close eye on me.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have been allowed in leadership for a while.
Oh, yeah, no, they would have, kept a good eye on me. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It depends who was keeping the eye on you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Why do people keep going?
It's a really, really good question. And I think there's lots of different reasons. I think that most of the time what we're talking about here is people that are attending them, so the more mega churches like Hillsongs and all those kind of denominations. And the reason really is because the energy there, the fact that you can kind of walk in and walk out and there's no real... Like, you can do that without actually meeting anyone, you know. There's an easiness to going to churches like that and kind of still worshipping and still connecting with God in how you would. But I don't know. I think it's a really big issue, and I think that churches like Hillsong are getting better and better at hiding the fact that they're not accepting, if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
So back in my day when I was there, it was very clear that if you were gay, GLBT, that you would not be accepted there. You felt that. Like, you knew that. Nowadays, because of a lot of the comments that pastors are saying and because they're being very extra careful about the way that they treat GLBT people in their churches, they're giving the illusion that they're accepting, but they're actually not accepting. Like, they're not going to treat you the way that they did back then.
No, but they're not going to accept you into leadership or anything else. Until they do that, as far as I'm concerned, they're not accepting or affirming.
Yeah, that's right. But that's the thing, is that I think that most, GLBT people, if they just want to go to church and if they just want to, you know, be a part of the worship experience and hear a message that they can relate to, I mean, my concern is that these messages and being in those environments, if you're only solely in those environments, that you're not being spoken to. Like, the message is not actually going directly to you because it's like you're not seen, and that's what concerns me, because I think that if you don't have someone speaking into your life as in who you are, then that unseenness, it actually stops growth.
I think one of the things that's lacking in other churches is the style of worship that really, for me, speaks to me. I love that worship, and I know a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
You know, there's not the things like miracle noise, which you're involved in, in many places, is there? So there's nowhere else to go apart from the Pentecostal churches.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So a lot of, I think what we're finding is that a lot of the affirming churches are more on the traditional side. And so... Yeah, that's the problem, is that there are not many churches that are doing that style of worship. And I think that's probably the biggest reason why GLBT people are still going there.
Keep up your good work with Miracle Noise, I think. And
yeah, well, I mean, I think that's why things like that kind of come together quite quickly, is because there's such a need for it. And it's not just about doing worship and doing that style of worship. It's actually taking that and doing it well, you know, and giving a platform for, you know, people that are wanting to grow and, you know, do worship leading and be involved in music, giving them something to actually attach to so that they've got something to work towards, if that makes sense. Because I think you can imagine there must be so many... gay people in Hillsong churches and churches like that are not out because there's not much else for them right now. So, I mean, people say, oh, like as if people have options, but, I mean, nowadays, you know, if people are not coming out in those churches, like sometimes I kind of go, well, if they're really, you know, committed to wanting to be in worship leading at the highest level, then... they don't really have a choice, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, they're choosing almost their career over coming out, but that doesn't mean that they're not gay, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean that they're healed, which is what some of them try to say, you know. Or people will say, oh, no, they've chosen to be celibate, you know, and that's really good, and that's why they're allowed to do, you know, ABC. And it's like, well, you haven't given them much option, because it's pretty much that or... walking away with nothing, you know.
Well, you know, we need something like Miracle Noise or something that where people can be open about who they are and can, you know, for whatever faults Pentecostal churches do have, they do have amazing worship, and that worship can be nourishing and healing. And I just think we need that in our community more than in, you know, ever. So
I agree.
Well, Tash, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me.
Oh, you're welcome. Always enjoy chatting to you.
And enjoy your trip to Singapore.
I will, I will.
You're listening to Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 every Thursday from 8 till 9.
We're talking to people who have been a part of Pentecostal churches in the past but have been forced to leave because of their sexuality. And in the studio we have, I was going to say old, no, but I won't say that because they've been with us many times, and we would like to welcome them back. Linda and Michelle, welcome to Spirit Lounge.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Now, Linda, you have been part of a Pentecostal church. How did you get involved with Pentecostal church?
The first time I ever walked into a Pentecostal church, I was actually taken by the person that I was involved with at the time. We got in, I met this person, and we, well, she had grown up in a Pentecostal family. And was obviously very involved in the church for all her life. And, of course, she just, you know, couldn't resist me. And
I understand that. No, Michelle does too.
And, well, we got into a relationship. But then it was all a bit strange because she started telling me about Jesus and playing me songs, and I'd actually never heard of any of it. I barely knew what Christmas and Easter was. I'd get confused, like I was a bit of a dum-dum about the whole thing. So it was just, I was floored by the whole thing. And then eventually she took me to a church, and I walked in, and we're in a, it's this massive factory, and there are people with their hands up, and I looked at this woman up the front, and she's got red hair out of here, and she's wearing leathers, and she's belting out this song with a guitar, and I'm like, oh, is this some kind of alternate universe that I've walked into? But that night I actually looked at the person I was with at the time, and I said, well, I suppose I better go up the front and give my heart to Jesus, because he started talking about, are you ready to meet, you know, are you ready to meet your maker tonight? You know, if you die tonight, where are you going to go? And I was like, oh, I'm going to go. I'm not ready to. I'm not. I don't know. And so I went up because I think I was full of fear, and I just didn't know what to do. But like, long story short, 18 months later, like, that relationship broke down, and then I continued to go on and go to Pentecostal churches after that. Because I just think I just couldn't walk away from it. For that moment, that person changed my life, like, forever, really. Because I had that, I just felt like I couldn't choose between my sexuality and God. And for me, I had to walk away from that, my sexuality, and try and, because I wanted God to heal me and fix me.
So during that 18 months, were you open about your relationship with the woman, or?
No, not maybe to close friends and family, but she wasn't. And when it really got to a very intense point, when I went off to a little tiny little church, it was in a library, and I confessed to the pastor's wife what was happening, and, you know, said a sinner's prayer and da-da-da-da. And I went back, and, of course, she nearly hit the roof, because she said, what are you doing? If my family find out, you know, da-da-da. So that kind of ended everything. And, just from that point on, we just went our separate ways. And it was the most intense relationship I've ever been in. It was I think I remember getting it. I think whether I threw it at her or she at me, you know, a big nursing dictionary, you know, at the head.
I thought you were going to say the Bible.
Right. So, yeah. How old were you at this time? I mean, obviously,
I was about 20.
Okay, and yeah. You said obviously that. Obviously, you knew you had something, or at least felt that there was something that needed to be confessed rather than just be open about it. And obviously, she felt the same. Was there, how explicit was the church about that diverse sexuality was a problem?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because at that point, that didn't even come into it. I actually, when I walked into that church and when I went down the front, I immediately thought to myself, This is great, but this is terrible, because how am I going to change? Nobody even knew. And I actually can't remember anybody telling me that you can't be gay and a Christian. I can't actually remember anybody
saying
that.
But somehow it was implicit.
Well, it was just, I think, because the first person I was ever involved with was in that place herself.
Yeah.
So it's just... Like she didn't know, obviously, you know, until she met me. And but I automatically just thought, you can't do it. So I actually don't remember anybody saying to me, you can't do it, this.
So what happened after that relationship broke up? You said you stayed with the Pentecostal church.
Yeah, I ended up going into this awful, very legalistic, fundamental, militant church for the next 13 years.
Wow.
And just continued on that journey of, you know, trying to work it all out. But interesting enough, after I actually left that church because, that's a whole other topic actually, spiritual abuse and like cultish type churches. Even, it was a Pentecostal church, but it was extreme. So anyway, I ended up leaving it because I didn't like the person I was. I mean, and I didn't end up going to any formal programs because it was just a very internal battle, and a few people around me that knew, and they kind of, like, I remember bringing one of my gay friends to church, and although I didn't have contact with her, but I kind of thought, of course I want to get her saved, and, you know.
Yep.
And I remember their reaction. It was like they were trying to protect me, like I was going to run off with her or something. So it was all very innuendo, all very under the carpet, you know what I mean? Like, it was there, but it was very strong. Like, if I talked about it to anybody, it's just like, oh, this is a secret battle that you're... It was never suggested that, Linda, you can do both. You can love Jesus as you are, as a gay woman. No, never.
So, did you have relationships during that time?
No, not ones that. Well, yeah, there was a few interesting things that happened, but I just dated a couple of guys, and then I ended up marrying one of them.
Oh, so that's quite significant, really.
No, look, he was a great guy.
By the way,
at the time.
Just and happened to
it. No, look, I had two wonderful children come out of it, so I really shouldn't, you know, I don't regret it. But I told him from the beginning too. I told him. But thank God I had the courage to get out of that church. But it was interesting because I went into another church straight away, and it was just a more... Like, it wasn't...
So it was more subtle?
It was great. I'll say it was an AOG church. It was actually... I thought I'd walked into the... There was a woman song leading. I'm like, oh, goody, goody. You know, got into the... I was there for 3 years, had a ball, had a blast. And then things took a turn.
For the worst.
Yeah.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Tao, do you want to go to the movies with me?
Oh, I think I would like to. That'd be great.
I'm not going to hold hands in the back row or anything, but we could share popcorn.
Oh, what if we really pray? Maybe then we can hold hands. I think, I don't know, I've been hearing some stories.
We're talking about people who have attended Pentecostal churches and had to leave because of their sexuality. Now, Linda, you have now left 13-year church, and you are at an AOG church. What is happening here for you?
So by this stage, my children were 7 and 9, and I'd been married for about 12 years, you know, the marriage was okay, but, you know, we were friends more than anything, and I could see that, like, my same-sex attractions weren't going away at all. And one night I discovered something in our relationship that just devastated me. So, and that morning I was on worship at the church, and so I went there, and that, look, they were very supportive about the marriage breakdown. Obviously the marriage was going to end at that point. Stephen had gone away, and I discovered, you know, that there'd been stuff going on, and I don't blame him and I don't blame me. I think we both added to it, and it's pretty sad, because I wish it had been different for the kids' sake. But I really, really wanted to kiss a woman again. And yeah, anyway, won't go into any more details on that.
Oh, well, please do. No, all right.
I kind of reconnected with an ex girlfriend, but I actually confessed to the pastor at this point, who was she was a woman, and I said, I think I'm going to run off with a woman. And she kind of, I think she thought I was joking or something. I said, I feel it. I'm going to go. And to cut a really long story short, I think they just were trying to support me through it at that point. But when I actually, forget about the ex-girlfriend, I actually became involved with my best friend, who still is my partner, Michelle, who's sitting right next to me. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Dar.
Right. anyway, so I basically rang the pastor, and I just said, things are going on a really bad turn, and I can't do this anymore. And she said, okay, let's organise a prayer weekend. Let's get our hands on you and, you know, pray over you and...
And pray the gay away.
Yes. And I'd just done a cleansing streams course. So I should have been all fixed up anyway. That's when you renounce everything from Freemasonry to you name it.
It's always Freemasonry that you renounce. I've always noticed these ones are always renouncing that.
Talking about spring cleaning, I'd done it. I was, you know. But anyway.
You were still gay.
Oh, yeah, I was. Anyway. Unfortunately, the parting words that I heard from her, because I basically said, do you know what? I get what you're saying. I can't do it. I'm over it. I can't fight it anymore. I just can't do it. And, you know, she kind of said, we kind of talked a bit. And anyway, the last parting words, unfortunately, that I remember her saying was, don't get hit by a bus.
Whoa.
And, you know, I think I had two people maybe contact me when I left, because I just thought, how can I stay here? How can I? And I really missed, it was such a good little, pretty good church. It was just, I loved it. But, and so, I ended up leaving and only two people contacted me. So for the second time, because when I left the Potter's House the first time, lost everybody. Now it happened again. Again, I'm back to stripped down, back to just, you know, me again. But at that point, I think my life, I could start again as me, like, yeah. It was a fresh start as who I was, and it was quite a turmoil. It was quite a tumultuous kind of time, but got there in the end.
Maybe we can all come in on a discussion about this. So many people still go to these churches. And especially people from our community, what would you say to them if they were listening tonight and they're struggling with their sexuality?
Oh, just, well, it depends their story. But I mean, it depends where they're at with it. But I would... You know, if they're really, it depends where they're at. Like, if they're really at their end, I'd say, you know, you've really got to rethink this and think about who you truly are, because it's not going to go away. I'm sorry, because God's not going to hear you, because there's nothing wrong with you in the first place. You're okay. He loves you as you are. But but if they are happy to kind of keep going along like that, well, that's their choice to do that. And yeah, but I would just maybe encourage them to just look a bit outside the circle and just not be so scared.
We really do know that often it's not a choice, is it?
No.
You know, you're sort of sucked into. I mean, it's more than just a service on a Sunday.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's
it
right.
It is life. It's your friends. It's the people that you're around all the time. And yet you have to give that up. If you're going to come out and say, I'm a lesbian or I'm gay or I'm transgendered.
It can be your entire community.
Yeah, to an extent, right. Eventually your community is your church community. That's just the word for it. And
yeah.
I imagine that would be an absolute terrible, terrible process. And especially you have to lie to yourself at the same time. I mean, from what you're saying there, like, it really breaks my heart in a way, hearing, you know, what you're saying, this idea, and you're supposed to pray and cleanse, and it's like, you're not, it's not getting better. Like, we're lying in the wrong direction. You're lying to yourself by saying that you're healed or that you think you can be healed. But that's fine. There's nothing to heal. It's really, I don't know. Yeah. It's really sad to hear about.
It is.
I think that's where a lot of the turmoil can lie, though, is that, you know, people do really want to be a part of that community because it is so vibrant and it is, you know, it's so, you know, it is such a supportive and lively environment when you're part of it. But when you're faced with this idea of being same-sex attracted and you almost need to put that side of you, you know, off to the side, so to speak. Like you need to deny that part of you to be involved in the church, because if that was out publicly, or you know you were so open about it, it would then cause that community to turn on you somewhat, you know.
No, I'd just say come out to one of our meetings, freedom to be. and meet some other people that have taken the courageous step of doing it. I know it's not as easy as that, but what you need to do is start finding a more accepting community if you can't stay in the one you're in. Yeah.
Now, some people would say that these communities maybe weren't as accepting and now are more accepting. That's what I've heard some people say, and even from some of these churches itself, we've seen some hints of that. But obviously, we've been speaking a little, and that you don't see as a very acceptable answer. Maybe you could explain a little more why?
Yeah. Well, I think it's part of that conversation we were having earlier, like off air, is that, you know, maybe not so much that the churches are becoming more accepting, but they're just looking at things from a different perspective. So, you know, they may know that there's someone going to their church that is same-sex attracted. But, you know, let's focus on something else. Let's not talk about that. You know, we'll talk about some of the nicer things we can do in church, or some of the nicer things, you know, that we can be a part of in our community. And we won't talk about that. But, you know, at the same time, there is this underlying non-acceptance.
I think if you spoke to individual church members, though, I think you'd get a different answer if they knew you. But as a church, as a whole community, I think there's a lot of people in the Pentecostal church. I think they've got that double... They're also trying to come to terms with it, because if one of their good friends decides to come out and then next minute, but they're a really good person, but I can't be seen to be supporting them. And so I think if you talk to people individually, you get different answers.
But I think also there is a big push now on remaining celibate.
Yeah.
And that is their answer. They realise that they actually can't change who we are. But in many churches now, that there is this big push. Okay, we accept that you might be lesbian, gay, whatever it is. So therefore, what has to happen is you have to remain celibate, and you cannot have loving same-sex relationships.
Yeah, deprived of any relationship in your life, and that's just not acceptable, really.
or to say, you know, okay, fine, you won't enjoy it, but still maybe try and suck it up and have some kids in a heterosexual relationship is Either way, it doesn't exactly...
Yeah, I think they try and do that, but I think they're beyond that now, and I think it's a lot more subtle. And that's, you know, when they're blatantly against us, you can sort of cope with it. But when there's this subtle push now that says, okay, you remain celibate, and we'll support you in that...
Yeah, and
it's so damaging. But
I think with the Last Church, if I'd have done that, I think it would have been okay. And to be honest, I don't think they knew what to do with me at that point. And so I think they did nothing. They just let me go. Because you know what? 2 weeks before that, this all came out, I actually confessed to my whole worship team of my past that I was a lesbian. Now I'm healed and I'm fixed. And then, you know, a couple of months later, I end up...
I'm not quite
not so
fixed.
Much.
And you... were on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. It just, I don't know, I think we need more time, really. It just goes far too fast. We've been talking about Pentecostal churches and talking to people who have had to leave because of their sexuality. A big thank you to you, Linda, for sharing your story.
Thanks, Jo.
And to you, Michelle, for coming in and being part of it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It really was quite... I've been... fascinated listening to all of this. It's
quite an education for you, isn't it, Tom?
It is. Well, it's not exactly my background, but it's quite fascinating.
Right. And if you want some more information, Freedom to Be, that's a word, freedom, the number 2 and the letter B, .org. There's no .au?
No.
Okay, freedomtobe.org. And have a look at the website there and you'll find out about all sorts of interesting things, forums and meetings.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Good night from Rev Joy.
Good night from Tull.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.